At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How are things out in the UK?
They're cold. Very yeah. Cold, very quickly.
Yeah, same here. I think it's just that time of the year. And it's also that time of the year to just start looking ahead to next year, where we're going to get a new iPhone.
Pretty much. We're already over the iPhone 17 now. We're at that point.
Old news. Who cares? So let's take a look at the iPhone 18. And for those who maybe, this is why it's timely for the most part. I know we have like 11 months or 10 months until the new iPhone comes out. But here's why I think it's timely. It's the holiday season. Black Friday deals here in the US or everywhere in the world that does a Black Friday or just a holiday sale in general. I think a lot of people get new phones around this time. Maybe you listen to this and you think, do I really need an iPhone 17 or 17 Pro? Or do I wait for the 18 Pro because this sounds more interesting to me and I'll just wait till next year? So I think that's why this could benefit you. What do you think?
There are plenty of people that will have held off on upgrading or maybe on a two-year plan and have skipped upgrading this year. And for those people, the iPhone 18 lineup will be particularly important. Also, we're expecting quite a few changes. Especially in terms of the way that these devices are released. So that's maybe where we should start, that we are only expecting in the fall of next year, 3 iPhone models, the iPhone 18 Pro, the iPhone 18 Pro Max, and the foldable. And today I think we're going to just focus on those 2 Pro models because that's really what sells well. It's what's most popular and it's where Apple leads with a lot of its most interesting new features.
Real quick. I know you want to start with that, and we won't bring up the Fold ever again after this, but you just said because it sells better. I'm just curious, do you think the Fold will sell better than the Air?
Probably.
Do you think it'll sell better than the Mini?
Probably, but not by a huge margin.
Okay, so then my next question was all 3 of the lesser child, stepchild ones combined. Do you think it'll do better than that?
Probably not.
Okay.
I think this is going to be broadly similar to those other models, namely because the price will just be so high. I mean, this device is going to cost, we believe, around $2,000. That's what Samsung is offering its equivalent devices for around that price point. And that is a very big ask for a lot of people, even those people that do upgrade annually, that do enjoy maybe an iPhone 17 Pro Max. When you start pushing into $2,000 or above if you increase storage, even on a monthly plan, that is getting very expensive.
Yeah, I agree. I still think it has the potential to do really well just because it's a new, completely new form factor. I know the Air is technically a completely new form factor, but like it's a little overpriced for what it's offering, you know? And I think this might be appropriately priced for what it's offering. And it's offering something that you've never had before on an iPhone. So that is one of the key aspects of next year's September keynote, at least what we are hearing and what we assume. It'll probably get a pretty big focus, but then you'll have the 18 Pro and Pro Max. So I think I will get this out of the way now. Maybe we won't spend too much time for those who hate the colors thing, but the colors that are rumored that are being tested this year are all sorts of weird to me. Like I get the orange was kind of a hot topic debate. And I was happy with it. I am actually using it. It's been my daily. But a brown, burgundy, and purple are the rumored. That's not the three colors that we're going to have. That's just the extra color, correct?
Pretty much. So I imagine that this is what will replace Cosmic Orange, one of these three options. And Apple does a lot of market research with colors, and it tends to follow the trends. Both in terms of its historical data on what models sell well. That's why we've had quite a lot of purple iPhones. We've had a lot of blue iPhones, but maybe not so many yellow iPhones, because Apple knows what colors always sell well. But also, every year, there are colors that are more fashionable, or at least every couple of years, these trends do change. And I imagine that this is what Apple's market data is pointing to, that these are the colors that are most likely to sell.
Burgundy, I think, if we got interesting choice.
Burgundy is interesting, but we've never had a sort of reddish crimson style Pro iPhone, as far as I recall.
No,
and this would be a little bit less striking than some of the product red iPhones, a little bit more subtle and could look quite unique. Again, I mean, Cosmic Orange is still very unique. This would be the same as that, really. It would be not so bright. It would be a little bit more mature, fits in with what we associate with the Pro models, but it's quite an interesting color. You know, we've mocked up on Macroom as some expectations of what these devices could look like. And I think it looks pretty good. I don't know whether I'd buy it. I actually think I prefer the brown iPhone. But the purple brown one is not for me.
Listen, as someone who, as you all probably know, is a huge Cleveland Browns fan, okay? Our main two colors are the worst two colors you could possibly have. It's brown and orange. Orange is not as bad, I think, universally as a color, but brown is pretty bad for most things, especially just from a TV perspective. It's just a really bad color to duplicate on monitors. But like in the real world on a Lumen, I just can't see it. I have to look. Admittedly, I have not seen our own mock-ups. I need to look this up because I can't envision what a brown iPhone would look like. Burgundy, I can see. I still think it's a strange choice, but
imagine it a little bit like the iPhone XS's gold, which is more bronzy. You know, there's a fine line between bronze and brown.
Sure.
And that does tend to look quite luxurious. Oh. It looks quite refined. And I quite like it. It's different.
Okay. So I'm looking at, everyone, if you're not driving and you're near the ability to pull this up right now, it's an article titled iPhone 18 Pro rumored to come in only one of these new colors. And wow, like this is, I actually really like all, and not so much the purple. I feel like the purple wouldn't be this bright. I feel like it might be a little bit more of a darker shade, but maybe not. I really like the brown and the burgundy. I like the burgundy way more than I thought I would if it kind of goes into this, like, if this is the hue that they use. And the brown, too. Okay. I'm just going to put my phones together and I'll have an official browns, you know, thing. Yeah. Just two phones. I'm going to use them all the time. Which one would you do then if you were to pick between these three?
Probably the brown.
That's the one you're rooting for?
Yeah, I think it's the most subtle. I mean, I don't tend to like iPhone colors that are too saturated, but I think it's quite subtle. It's quite neutral. I think it looks pretty contemporary as well.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm a pretty big fan of that option. I mean, who knows what they'll actually look like and which one of these they'll end up going for. These are presumably in testing, but similar sources have revealed extremely accurate information about this kind of thing in the past and what Apple is testing color-wise. You know, we've been hearing about the orange iPhone for years, as well as the new colors that came with the standard iPhone 17. So I think this is pretty believable.
This isn't really mentioned in any of the reports right now, at least not what I'm seeing. But for the other two colors, then you think they just keep the same blue? And I think they're going to keep the silver no matter what. But
yeah, I imagine it will be blue, silver, and then one of these new options with Cosmic Orange probably disappearing.
I think we got to go to some, they have to figure out a way to do some sort of black. The blue is close enough.
Or replace the blue.
Yeah, but I believe some of the thoughts on the blue is that it was like, just a little bit better from like a scratch resistant point of view and like losing that coating than the black would be. But like, I still think they had problems anyway. So you might as well just let people have that choice. I don't know.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
The silver is still
black is still coming. But of course, the key detail about this design is that it's going to be largely the same as what we've had introduced this year. The iPhone 17 Pro represented a major redesign, at least of the frame. I know we didn't really get any changes on the front of the device, but the whole chassis and rear of the device was totally redesigned in a much bigger way than we had seen for many, many years. So don't really expect that to change next year. There may be a couple of changes. So we are looking at the glass, the insert, the ceramic shield insert for wireless charging on the back. That could be altered in some way, but the actual frame is not expected to change, which may be disappointing to some people who have found that the iPhone 17 Pro is not as durable as they'd hoped. But I think that the glass area... Yeah. is quite interesting. So there are two rumors about that. We're not sure which way it's going to go. The first is that Apple is looking to actually lose the two-toned element that currently exists with that so that it will be a uniform color on the back. So at the moment, like if you look at the Cosmic Orange iPhone, that glass segment is a different shade of orange. And in some lighting conditions, it can look a little bit weird. And the same goes for the blue iPhone to a lesser extent. And obviously the silver iPhone has a white glass segment. So one of these rumors is that Apple will actually color match that glass almost exactly to the color of the frame of the device so that it is uniform. The other rumor is that it will be translucent. So it will actually enable you to see through into some of the MagSafe components, the wireless charging components, maybe through to the battery. And anything else that's going on in there, which maybe these two rumors may be related in some way, that it may look more uniform. There may be less contrast, but it will be in some way translucent. So kind of a little bit like a device from nothing, I guess, which is, I think, pretty interesting. And I think a lot of people would really like that.
Yeah, that would be sick. I think that's kind of the staple of like what Apple might be trying to do. Like, you know, you see this, you know you have the new iPhone. I just think that that's pretty obvious. Just from no one's ever seen anything like this before on an iPhone like that. We have not had such a bright color in a long time. I've had my kids' friends be like, oh, you have the new iPhone 17 Pro. That's crazy. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. Like, you know, it's kind of funny how like the general public who doesn't do this for a living kind of look at these crazy colors and having orange and all of that. A translucent option would be pretty interesting. I would be on board with that. I will say, I'm just looking around as you were talking about like the build. And I know early on when we talked about this phone, you didn't necessarily love the design change. Do you still feel that way? Ugly.
I think it's really ugly. I think it's a fantastic device. And I'm incredibly happy with my purchase. But when I put it next to my iPhone 16 Pro, there's just no competition. The way that the 16 Pro feels in the hand, it's that little bit thinner with that frosted glass over the back, the brushed titanium frame. It's just a fantastic design that had clearly been iterated on for so many years. Whereas this feels really quite, it's very thick. It's very chunky. The camera plateau is, it's very extreme. Everything about this design is very, it's not an elegant design, put it that way. They put all the elegance in the air and they let all of those sorts of design principles start to fade away in this device. And it looks like next year, that'll actually be getting worse in some ways because particularly the Pro Max is expected to get even thicker, which is pretty shocking to me considering that
it's already, pretty thick already.
It's really thick. And if you have this device in a case, especially one from Apple, not like an ultra thin case, it really does feel like a proper unit.
Yeah. I have been on the Pro for this entire time. I used to be a Pro Max dude all the way, like just kind of wanted that big size. I picked that phone up and I'm like, yeah, I think I made the right call just having a 17 Pro. It's the perfect size, perfect weight. Even when you put a case on it, it starts to get kind of crazy. Just the Pro model itself, you're like, ah, this thing is a lot heavier than I thought. I do want to point out one thing that I've probably said a million times, but it's been however many months now, 3 months since we've had these phones. I still have zero micro scratches on this glass. Corning makes a ton of the Gorilla Glass, you know, displays or the glass for the displays for all these other phones. But when Apple works with them, they put the ceramic shield together. And I don't know who does what process. I know they collaborate together on it, but like, whatever Apple and Corning figured out for this specific shield, this is the second gen, right?
I believe so.
Okay. I was checking with you, but you're also like, I don't know. It's so good. Do you have any scratches?
None that I can see. It does seem to be significantly better than the previous generation. Like, it's just a shame that the aluminium is so soft, and that's what I'm terrified about damaging.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say I was looking around on my phone. I have one little like dark scuff mark on the top. It's very, very tiny. You probably couldn't tell unless you were like really going around it. I haven't had any major drops, so that also helps. But I've been treating my phone in just the same way that I would all the other ones that I've had, where I'd put it in a pocket and it might have other things. I try to keep it away from keys, but sometimes that's just not possible. You know, little bits, grains that might be in your pocket, sand, whatever. You put my phone down face first on tabletops when I go to restaurants. Like, I don't like things in my pockets, but I don't want the phone face up so people don't think I'm like looking at it. So I put it face down. When you pull that and slide it off the table, whatever little debris and dust and stuff, sometimes that does scratch. I've had major scratches on my phones where with no drops, and I can't tell you how because I treat it the same way. This one, you put it under light, you know, shine it there and see the microscope, there's not a single one. So hats off. I have not used a screen protector and I don't plan to.
And speaking of the front of the device, that is where we are expecting some slightly more significant changes next year.
I don't know if I buy it, but yes.
Under display Face ID.
I don't buy it.
So these rumors are a little bit conflicted and we are hearing some different things, but this has been in the pipeline for so long that it is a case of when, not if. And I think we probably will get it. The implementation is what is unclear. So one of the rumors Which is from the information's Wayne Marr, which, I mean, he's a really good source, very, very high level of accuracy, and has revealed a huge amount about Apple's plans over the years. He said months ago that the front-facing camera would move to the left corner, the top left corner of the device, as a punch hole, and Face ID would be under the display. And then we've had other rumors that Face ID is going to be under the display, but this will just mean that the dynamic island is smaller. So it isn't clear at the moment whether the dynamic island is actually going to go away next year or whether it's actually going to reduce in size. But it looks like something is going to happen one way or another. Definitely an under-display camera is further away, because then you have to contend with these issues about it degrading the quality and reliability of that camera. But Face ID is obviously a little bit different. It's just there for authentication. You're not worried about the visual quality from that, as long as it can provide the same level of security. And it looks like that is what will go first. And Apple tends to sort of change, alternate in terms of changing the front, then the back of the device, generation over generation, at least to some extent. And with the iPhone 15, it took a look at the back of the device, the iPhone 16 Pro. We had a larger displays on the front, slimmer bezels. And then with the 17 Pro, it went back to the exterior and the back of the device. So with the iPhone 18 Pro, it would follow that there will be some further changes to the front of the device, certainly slimmer bezels as we work toward this display that waterfalls over the edges of the device. But at some time, I think, if it's not this year, surely, if it's not next year, surely it will be the year after that Face ID finally moves under the display.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Yeah. I just can't see it for next year, but hopefully I'm wrong. I mean, that would probably be a better way to just kind of, I don't know, move more in the advancements of getting that all screen iPhone that everybody would want. I don't know. I feel like this is not going to be as major of an upgrade visually, since they just kind of did that this year. But, you know, there's always,
I mean,
a surprise.
If it's just a smaller dynamic island, barely anyone will notice that. If it's the punch hole on the top left, that will be far more noticeable. And if that means the removal of Dynamic Island, or that Dynamic Island in some way moves to this punch hole on the left, that will be a far more dramatic difference. So that will be very interesting to see. The other thing with that camera is that we're expecting a resolution increase. So this year we had a bump up to 18 megapixels on that front-facing camera, the first increase for years. Before that, for generation after generation, it was stuck at 12. Now it is going to apparently move up to 24. The interesting thing about that to me, as someone who covers Apple rumors on a daily basis, is that that is what was rumored for the iPhone 17 Pro. And when it was announced, when we were covering this as a team, we almost missed it. We were thinking, well, was it 18 or was it 24? Because everything said it would be 24. So it was unexpected that it was actually a little bit lower resolution. So it's interesting to me now that it looks like that 24 megapixel rumor wasn't actually misplaced. It was just pushed one year later. And I think that I would really look forward to that, because for me, the iPhone 17 Pro did not deliver a huge increase in visual quality on that front-facing camera, as I'd hoped. But the iPhone 18 Pro, if it can deliver that 24-megapixel camera, might start to do that.
Yeah, Thank you for talking through that train, by the way. I appreciate that. so yeah, I agree. I thought we missed it too. I was actually confused because they did talk about, like you said, how the front-facing camera got better and it got an increase, but then I'm like, oh, so it's got to be 24. So I'm sitting there writing it up. And then the other second or third time they talked about the front-facing camera, then they mentioned the megapixel quality. I was like, wait, 18? That was not what we were expecting for all these months. So yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much of a difference that's going to make visually, you know, going up another 6 megapixels, but at least that's a difference. The other thing I thought we were supposed to get this year, or maybe I'm just still thinking too far in advance, wasn't variable aperture rumored for the 17 Pro this year, and it just didn't happen?
I don't believe so. That's always
okay.
Been
so that was one that I heard for the future. Okay, so well, that's a spoiler alert. We're expecting a non-fixed aperture for the first time on the 18 Pro models. So basically, you'll have the ability to adjust, because right now it's currently fixed at what, like 1.7 something, 1.78, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the widest setting for your f-stop, so that will impact your depth of field. And now you will be able to adjust it, which is what I do with my cameras. Like the camera that you're watching this on, I can adjust the aperture, set it to what I want. If I want it super wide, let in more light, give you that bokeh effect, you know, that creamy background. Or if you're like, I don't need that, but I still want to use this this camera, this lens, then you can adjust it to something a little bit smaller if you'd like. So that's pretty cool. I don't know of any other phone that really does that, at least not a mainstream phone.
Well, I believe that Samsung did do this with its Galaxy smartphones years ago, but because it made the device, or at least the camera enclosure, so thick, it actually removed it after a couple of generations.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay.
I think it was around the time of the S20 that it removed it, but I think it was on at least two successive generations that Samsung did offer this technology. So it's nice to see that it's coming back.
It was the S9 and S10. Yeah, I completely forgot about that.
Oh, that's even a lot longer ago than I thought it was.
Well, it's still pretty, yeah, because after 10, they went to 20. But, I mean, it's still like 8 years. So, I completely forgot about that. I didn't even realize. Like right now, though, there's no current phones that I think do that, at least not of the major, you know, iPhone, Pixel or the Ultras out there. So that's
we do get one major camera upgrade on that rear camera array pretty much every year, at least. Yeah. I think since the iPhone 11 Pro, every single Pro model has had something. So obviously this year we had the new telephoto camera bumped up to 48 megapixel. The year before that we had the new ultra wide, and then what was it the year before that on the 15 Pro? I actually don't remember. Oh, that was also there was also a new telephoto on that.
Oh yeah, that was the 70 millimeter, and then we went from 70 to 100.
And before that it was the 48 megapixel on the 14 Pro on the main camera. So every year there is something, and this looks pretty nailed down. I think if I was to pick any iPhone 18 Pro rumor that I am most convinced of, that I think is almost completely certain to happen, it is this variable aperture rumor, because we have been hearing about it for so long from such a wide variety of sources. And it seems very believable to me that that is the next progression here. We have these high resolution sensors. There isn't really a huge amount to be gained by increasing that megapixel count without improving some of the other hardware. And I think that Apple would be able to get far more out of a variable aperture. And then, of course, in subsequent generations, bring that to the other lenses. So that's at least 3 years of camera upgrades right there.
Yeah. Unless the major camera change for next year is just the simplified camera control button, because that still counts, which is a good segue into our other feature that's new for next year. Apparently, Apple is reportedly working on a simplified way to kind of make the camera control buttons like more useful, and just the design would be, kind of just better. And I guess it would reduce costs. Why don't you just remove it, Apple? I mean, I don't know. Are people really using it? I would love to hear. Every time I say something like that, I get a million comments. Like, I use this all the time. So I'm like, I do use it all the time to launch the camera. And then I have disabled everything else because I don't want it.
So I think that there's two things going on here. One of these important considerations is the cost. Apparently, the camera control costs Apple a lot to manufacture and implement. It's quite a complex element of the device that takes up quite a considerable amount of space.
Yeah, it's a capacitive button, so yeah.
And the other part is that Apple must have market data that would suggest that people are not really using this camera control in the way in which they intended. So I use camera control every day, but I just use it as a launcher for the camera. I have disabled everything else. And even if it comes to capturing a photo, I won't use the camera control.
Oh, it's bad. It's hard to keep your hands steady.
Exactly. And this seems like a really big oversight and a flaw in the design. And it looks like Apple is going to look at this again. And one of those methods will apparently be to sort of remove the swiping gestures and the capacitive elements so that it is a purely mechanical button, and it will enable those functions singularly through that. So it may still perhaps detect different levels of pressure that would enable you to lock in focus. It would work just like it would on a mirrorless camera. But you maybe are not going to be swiping to zoom and all of this kind of stuff that I really don't know how many people are using that. I'd be fascinated to know how many people use that.
Yeah, me too. I would love to hear from you guys. If you're using it, let us know. But I feel like that number has got to be pretty low. Make it a button. Make it a button to launch the camera. Even if they're like, hey, we've gotten our data and our data shows that you guys love camera control to literally open up the camera. So we're just going to do it there. Although I still say that they should just make it the side button, double tap or triple tap, figure out a way to just route that to that button. But now that we've got this here, might as well keep it and just use it for specific, you launch the camera, maybe a long press has another option that you can tailor. Cause right now I think it's set to visual intelligence, fix it, set it to something else if you'd like. Maybe when you're within the camera app, it has, developers can offer up different types of points. Like if you double tap while you're in a specific app, it does one function, et cetera, et cetera. Like that's fine. But yeah, we don't need the capacitive gestures and all that. I just think it gets in the way and makes me angry.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
And you can still achieve multiple levels of functionality singularly with pressure. You don't necessarily need the swiping gestures. I actually think that they're very easy to trigger accidentally, especially when you are taking a portrait image. So yeah. I would actually be quite glad to see Apple have another attempt at it. But if it still can't deliver anything meaningful, I really think probably this just needs to go in the direction of being a secondary action button.
I agree. What else is on this list here?
Well, we have the A20 chip.
Now we're starting to get into the nuts and bolts of insides, which it's going to be fast, guys. that's what it is every year.
The A20 chip will be a little bit more significant than most other chip upgrades that we've had, at least, because this will move to a 2-nanometer fabrication process. So the previous three Apple chips, whether that's A series or M series chips, have all been 3-nanometer. The one before that was theoretically 4-nanometer. And before that, we had three generations of 5-nanometer. So the move to 2 nanometers is fairly significant, and it's what we can expect, at least going through the next few years of Apple Silicon. And that should, of course, deliver better performance, better efficiency, and that will help, at least on the iPhone, to deliver longer battery life. I'm sure not many people are complaining that the iPhone is slow, but efficiency is something that matters to people far more on a mobile device.
And I think one of the main reasons why I've been able to use the Pro model without any issues is because the battery life is so much more improved than it was the year before that I'm not necessarily missing my Pro Max model. Where, I mean, I guess if I went to the Pro Max, I'd have even more battery life, but like this is sufficient enough. So it's already pretty power efficient. The battery, you know, the thicker chassis, like everything has culminated into this being a pretty good deal for those things. So it's only going to get better. Obviously, we'll take that. The other thing that's interesting is that this will be the first time we actually get Apple's modem. So presumably the C2 this time, unless they do another, you know, we're on the C1X for the Air. And if you're rocking A16E, you're on the C1. So this isn't the first time we've had Apple's custom modems, obviously, but in the Pro models, we have not had that. So you're still using Qualcomm. So this is it. This is its last year for Qualcomm in theory.
That's right. And this all goes in the direction of Apple designing more of its own components. And this really is the next thing. I mean, Apple has tested out this modem pretty extensively now. We've had the C1 and the C1X. We've had that in the iPhone 16e, the iPhone Air, and most recently in the iPad Pro. It's really time now to get these modems into the Pro devices. The key difference with the C2 is that it probably will support millimeter wave 5G, which the C1 and C1X don't support. And that is pretty essential for a Pro device. That would be a major step back in terms of what people expect from cellular connectivity. If you're an iPhone 16e user, you probably don't care or know what millimeter wave is. But a Pro user is more likely to care about that. So that would be the main difference with the C2.
I'd say probably most Pro users don't even know what millimeter wave is, to be honest with you. So it's good. I mean, I've used the Air pretty extensively too during this release. And did I notice any issues from a cellular connection point of view? And maybe the power efficiency for when you're kind of on standby and you used to constantly lose some battery life back in the day when you just weren't in a good cellular area because it was just kind of always looking. And so I know the efficiencies with these modems have gotten better. Have I noticed any major differences? No. So that's good. I think that's what you would want. You would want this switch to be pretty seamless. And if you are noticing differences, you're noticing maybe more consistency in speeds, which is what I noticed from like a speed test. But in the real world, am I noticing like, oh, this seemed faster, like it downloaded faster? I'm not really hyper focused on it, which is good because that means, again, I haven't noticed anything negative because that's when you really do notice it. So that'll be nice. I think that's really it for the Pro models this year. I mean, 5G satellite internet, I guess, is another thing, kind of keeping up with the connection. But again, are you using any of the satellite stuff on a regular basis?
No, I don't think I ever have.
Yeah, me neither. I did it once during when it first came out. I tested it, but that was it. It's nice to have, not hating on it. It's nice to have for when that time unfortunately might come and I'm in a predicament where I need to get a hold of somebody, hopefully not emergency services, but even like sending a text or something, or just reaching out for maybe I got a flat tire and it's just in the middle of nowhere. Like I want that ability, but don't use it at all. So, all right, well, that is the iPhone 18, 18 Pro. If you'd like, we can kind of dive into the foldable in a future episode. Let us know in the comments. We've done it before, but you know, there's always new information coming out, so we can kind of touch on that in the coming weeks to months. We're getting in the holiday season. We'll probably be off, just to forewarn people. Middle of December, I think, would probably be our last for a little bit, and then we'll reconvene at CES, and maybe we'll bring a special CES episode to everybody. A little spoiler there. We'll catch everybody in the next episode.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.